We offer a prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you with humble hearts, thanking and praising your name again for bringing us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together to give praise and honor and glory to you. We ask, Father, that your word that you prepared for us this day would be able to penetrate our hearts, Father, and have free course so that we would accept your word, Father, and we would grow in your grace and knowledge and rejoice before you because truly you are feeding us, Father, with the bread of heaven from on high. We know, Father, that this world is dying. It's dark and it's dying. And it's only through your marvelous light, Father, through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, the light of the world, that we have hope of salvation and to be in your kingdom. And we know that that kingdom is soon coming to this earth. So, Father, prepare your people. We ask, Father, at this time that you would help us to truly surrender ourselves completely to you so that we would receive your word gladly and rejoicing before you this day. And we thank you again for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Again, Father, we ask that you bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list and that we would be faithful in all things that we do for your honor and glory. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This series of messages is entitled Connected to the Source, and this is part 5. We're going to start in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. As we look at the background of this message, it's about connecting to Almighty Yahweh, our source. In Micah 7, verse 7, it says, "But as for me, I will look to Yahweh. I will wait for the Elohim of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahweh will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of Yahweh because I have sinned against him until he pleads my cause and executes judgment. For me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." See, most people, when they're in sin, they can't see. They're blinded. They cannot see what they're doing. And this is why we need Yahweh's light in our life. We need that the blinders to be removed so that we can see clearly. As David, when Nathan came to him and told him, "You are the man." And David immediately repented because he knew he had sinned against Almighty Yahweh. Most people, when they're in sin, they cannot see that they're blinded by sin. And people say, "Well, how? If you know the commandments, if you're walking in the law, can you be in sin?" But this is what Satan does. He comes to separate us from the Father. See? He comes and he blinds the eyes of the unbelieving. This is why we have to believe everything that Yahweh has taught us in the Word. We can't separate the truth from, you know, what we think is error, okay? Because a lot of people have been preconditioned to believe things that are not true. And this is why we go to the Word on a regular basis, because this is the light. This will open your eyes as you study the Word. See, our enemy, in verse 10 it says, "Then my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her who said to me, Where is Yahweh your Elohim? My eyes shall see my desire upon her. Now she shall be trodden down as the mire of the streets. A day for building your walls. In that day shall the decree be far removed." In that day is the time stamp. When we see that, there's a specific time that Yahweh is trying to get us to see. "Shall they come to you from Assyria and from the cities of Egypt and from Egypt even to the river and from sea to sea and from mountain to mountain. Yet shall the land be desolate because of them that dwell in it for the fruit of their doing. And this is one of the things that people don't understand. You reap what you sow. You're going to be judged according to your life. And see, most people say, well, the commandments are done away with. We don't have to keep the commandments. But if you think about it, this is something that we just dealt with for Pentecost, because that was the giving of the law and the Holy Spirit. And he gives his Holy Spirit to them that obey. And what do you have to obey? You still have to keep the commandments. See, even though we have grace today, we still have that covenant. And that covenant was given to us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And if we tread underfoot that blood and walk all over that covenant and say, well, we don't need it, where are we going to find ourselves? This is what Satan wants. He wants to disconnect you from the source, from Yahweh. This is what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He went to Eve, who was the weaker vessel. He didn't go right to Adam. He went to Eve. And what did he do? He beguiled her. He tricked her. See? And they were just like babes. They were new. They didn't know evil. That's why he wanted them to eat of that tree of knowing good and evil. Yahweh only wanted us to know the good, brethren. He didn't want us to know the evil. He didn't want his children. Do you want your children to know evil? Think about it. We only want our children to have the good. And that's what Yahweh wanted for each and every one of us. He wanted us to have the good, not the evil. It says in verse 14, feed your people with your rod, the flock of your heritage, which dwell solitarily in the forest in the middle of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead. Bashan and Gilead was very fruitful ground. This was given to the tribes before they entered the promised land. The ones that said, this is a great place to feed our flocks and our herds. See? As in the days of old, as in the days of the coming forth out of the land of Egypt, will I show them marvelous things. The nations shall see it and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. Like crawling things of the earth, they shall come trembling out of their close places. They shall come with fear to Yahweh our Elohim. And it's important that this passage talks about them coming like they were a serpent, like they licked dust like a serpent. And they shall be afraid because of you. They're going to be afraid because of you. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Genesis 3:14. It says, and Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed to you above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Now, I wanted you to keep your finger in Micah 7. We're going to go back over there. Hold on just a second. I have a Bible. I did bring an extra Bible here. We're going to go back to Micah chapter 7 and read verses 18 to the end of the chapter. It's Micah chapter 7, verse 18. It says, who is an El like you that pardons iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in loving kindness. Hesed in Hebrew, loving kindness, is something that he shows each and every one of his servants. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth to Jacob and the loving kindness to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Before the curse, the serpent went about upright. Watch out for those characteristics in your life and be humble at all times, brethren. See, people don't know this because he cursed that serpent, and that serpent was upright when he spoke to Eve. But after he was cursed, it told him he was going to be on the ground, licking the dust. Think about that. See, we have to be a humble people. And the reason we have to be humble is so that we can be taught, so that we can be educated, so that we can be a part of the kingdom to come. I preached this series of messages last year on the 144,000. And a lot of people don't understand that this is the first fruits. This is what it's about. These are the first fruits of the earth who are going to be with Yahshua in the thousand-year millennium when he returns. Everybody's not going to be resurrected at that time. See? The great white throne judgment and that resurrection is going to be much later. See? So what we have to do as we are trying our best to be reconnected to the source. We cannot allow Satan and his lies to come between us and Yahweh, because this is what he does. He challenged Eve, see? And this is human nature. Was he keeping something from us? You know? But he told us not to touch that tree, not to eat from it, not even to touch it. And what did Satan do? Dying, you shall not die. He told a lie. See? He told her a lie, and she took it, hook, line, and sinker. And this is what happens to us too often today, brethren. We are told lies, a lot of lies. You know, this is the deceiver of the whole world, as it tells us in Revelation 12. All we have to do is go with the Word. The Word is here. All you got to do is read it for yourself. See? Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, you got to have a teacher. You need to be taught, and that's true. You do have to be instructed. But if anybody teaches you anything that's contrary to what's in here, think about it. They're lying to you. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, starting 1, it's verse 1. It said, the word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, in this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am El. I sit in the seat of Elohim, in the middle of the seas. Yet you are a man, and not El, though you did sought set your heart as the heart of Elohim. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is hidden from you. By the wisdom and by your understanding you have gotten for yourself riches and have put gold and silver into your treasures. But you know what, brethren? It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much wealth of this world you have. You can't take it with you. It's not going to do you any good if you're not living the right life. See? It says, by your great wisdom and your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, because you have set your heart as the heart of Elohim, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom. And they shall defile your brightness. And they shall bring you down to the pit. And you shall die the death of them that are slain. I'm in Ezekiel 28, verse 9. verse 8. They shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the death of them that are slain, and the heart of the sea. Will you yet say before him that slays you, I am Elohim, but you are a man and not El? In the hand of him that wounds you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, says Sovereign Yahweh. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, in this manner, says the Sovereign Yahweh, you sealed up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was in you. In the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub that covers, and I set you so that you were upon the holy mountain of Elohim. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. See, Satan was there. Satan was in heaven. Satan was in Eden as the serpent. The word of Yahweh is complete from Genesis to Revelation. This is one complete book. It does not contradict itself. See? You can put it all together, but it's done with the Spirit of Yahweh. You have to understand that Satan is trying to destroy the relationship you have with Yahweh, whichever way he can. He's trying to destroy your family, husband, the wife, child, the parent, even sibling to sibling, as he did with Cain and Abel. Think about it. He is the destroyer. He's trying to destroy everything Yahweh has created that's beautiful. And trust me, the family is a beautiful thing. But for us to survive and to overcome Satan the devil and be reconnected to the source, we have to accept the covenant. We have to accept the word of Yahweh and not the lies of the evil one, because he's constantly lying, trying to defeat us. It says in verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, they filled the middle of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore have I cast you as profane out of the mountain of Elohim. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the middle of the stones of fire. Revelation 12 is where it talks about him being cast out. And he took a third of the angels along with him. See? It's there. When you check it out, write that down in your notes so you can check it out later. Actually, it's a part of the last Connected to the Source, Part 4, which will be on the website soon. Your heart, verse 17, was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I have cast you to the ground. I have laid you before kings, that they may behold you by the multitude of your iniquities. In the unrighteousness of your traffic, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore have I brought a fire from the middle of you. It has devoured you. I have turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. All they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You have become a terror, and you shall never more have any being. I was speaking with a lady who is with a messianic group, and she doesn't believe this. She doesn't believe that he's going to be destroyed. She believes that he rules what they call hell, and it's fire burning. And I told her, that's a myth. That's from Dante's Inferno. That's a Greek tragedy. That's not in the scriptures. it tells you right here that he's going to be destroyed. And I showed her in Revelation as well, where it talks about him being destroyed. Yes, he's going to be put in the pit for 1,000 years and then released. Because after that 1,000 years, he has to have that ability to go forth and to take these kids that have never known the devil. Just like Eve, they had never known the devil. All they've known is going to be the righteous reign of Yahshua the Messiah for 1,000 years. But after that, Satan is going to be loose for a short period of time, and he's going to be able to affect them. He's going to be able to turn them away from Yahweh, see, before the last destruction. But this is why when I was showing this to this woman and trying to show her, this is what the Word says. See, you're listening to fables. You're listening to lies of the evil one. And that's what he wants you to think. Oh, it just continues to go on and on and on. No, Gehenna is the lake of fire. That's where people are going to be destroyed. That's the second death. Okay? They will never have any being after that. It's not this thing that's going to go on forever and ever. See? And the kingdom is coming to this earth. No man has ascended into heaven except the one that came down, Yahshua the Messiah. See, the kingdom is coming to this earth. It tells us, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And yes, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But the kingdom of Yahweh is coming to this earth. And that's hard for a lot of people to believe. But you can't show me anywhere in the scriptures, in the Bible, where people are going to heaven. It doesn't tell you that. And nowhere does it say it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. See, these lies of the evil one are designed to keep you in bondage. Satan wants to destroy everyone. Isaiah 14, we're going to start in verse 12. Isaiah 14:12. It says, how have you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How have you been cut down to the ground that laid low the nations? And you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of El. The stars represent the angels. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the utmost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. That term Sheol means grave. To the utmost parts of the pit. They that see you shall gaze at you. They shall consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that shook kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and overthrew the cities of it, that did not let loose his prisoners to their home? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house, in his own grave. But you are cast forth away from your sepulcher like an abominable branch clothed with the slain that are thrust through with the sword that go down to the stones of the pit as a dead body trodden underfoot. You shall not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land. You have killed your people. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. One of the things we have to understand is that we have to be humble. See? Satan is just the opposite. He's not humble at all. He's going to do all this. He's full of himself. But Yahweh is the one that cut him down. It says in verse 21, prepare you slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers. They that rise not up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. And I will rise up against them, says Yahweh of hosts, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant and the son and son's son, says Yahweh. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Yahweh of hosts has purposed, and who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? No one has the power but Yahweh. And this is something that we have to understand. Yahweh's hand is not short that it cannot save. He can do whatever he says he wants to do. And it's all here in the book. He's already told us the end from the beginning. We know what his purpose for us is. And this is one of the things that we individually have to find out in our lives. What are our purposes? Yahweh has given each of us a specific purpose. Now, Isaiah chapter 55. Go back to Isaiah 55. You were just in Isaiah 14. Just a little further back. We're going to look at verses 6 down to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 55, verse 6. This is something that we all have to do, brethren. It says, seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to Yahweh. That term return is teshuvah. Return to Yahweh. That means that you're willing to get rid of your sins and walk in the light of Yahweh. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. And truly he is. He has the mercy. He will pardon each and every one of us of our sins. All we have to do is say we're sorry. And that's so hard for people to do. Husband to wife, child to parent, parent to child. If we do something to offend one another, all we have to do is say I'm sorry. You know, but we make it so difficult. Why? You think about it. Because the evil one is telling us. He's puffing us up. This is where the humility comes in. This is how we get reconnected to Yahweh, to the source. We become a humble people. We're willing to say, I'm sorry. It's very difficult for people to do, but it's so easy. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, we need to do this, of course, because if we sin, even if we sin against someone else, we're sinning against Yahweh, because he's the one, right? So if we come and can tell him, I'm sorry, we should be able to come to our brother or sister or child or parent whom we have offended and say, I'm sorry. But it's so difficult for us to do that. And you think about it. It's not that hard. But we make it difficult because Satan has puffed us up. This is where humility comes in. We have to have that humility to be able to come to one another and say, hey, I'm sorry, I did this wrong. And I did something contrary to what, you know, our agreement was. And that's difficult for people to say. Husband to wife, you know, you think about it. That's almost the hardest thing for in the relationship of husband to wife, even parent to child, to come and say, I'm sorry. But we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to do that to overcome the evil one, because that's all Satan wants us to do. He wants to keep the turmoil and the controversy going every day. He wants the drama in your life. And guess what? We don't need the drama. It's so easy to just cast it aside, because Yahweh doesn't hear sinners. He hears unrepentant sinners. No, he hears repentant sinners. See? He doesn't hear those that are crying to him, that are still in their sins because they don't want to repent. He hears those that are repentant. Like David. When David, Nathan came to David and said, you are the man. And what did he do? He immediately repented. The difference between him and Saul. Saul tried to make excuse, just like Adam did. Adam, and we're going to go there next, actually, in Genesis chapter 3. But let me finish this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void." It's going to accomplish, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And that's important for us to understand, brethren. Because back in Genesis chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. This is what Yahweh told Adam. "And unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and unto dust shall you return." So it was easy for Adam to eat before, but now it became difficult. See, it was going to be hard. You had to work. Before, he didn't have to work that hard. All he had to do was go to the tree and pick the fruit and eat of it. But after he got cast out the garden, then he had to work by the sweat of his brow to provide food for his family. Okay? But what do we just read in Isaiah 55? He's going to take that briar and that thorn and turn it back into something productive, the fir tree. See, so it's going to be easier again if we are faithful and being reconnected to Yahweh. And that's what we want, brethren. Life has taken a different turn. Before it was easy to get food, and now it's become difficult. But Yahweh is going to make it easy again for those that are sincere. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is about Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This chapter is about Paul's faith and works. Paul says, "I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a righteous jealousy. For I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a pure virgin to him. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is toward the Messiah. See, Paul understood what happened in the garden, how Eve was beguiled. She was tricked. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward the Messiah. For if he that comes preaches another Yahshua, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different evangel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. For I reckon that I am not a whit behind the preeminent apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. No, in every way we made this manifest to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself, that you might be exalted? Because I preached to you the good tidings of Yahweh for nothing. See? Paul was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. And they knew the law, every yod and every tittle. See? And they thought that they were doing Yahweh's will. Even when they persecuted Yahshua and his following. Verse 8, it says, I robbed other assemblies, taking wages of them that I might minister to you. He's talking to the Corinthian brethren. And when I was present with you and was in want, I was not a burden on any man. But the brethren, when they came from Macedonia, supplied the measure of my want. And Macedonia is Greece. See, and here he was in Corinth. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself as the truth of the Messiah is in me. No man shall stop me in this glory in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I love you not? Elohim knows, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire an occasion, that in what they glory they may be found as even as we. For such men are false apostles. And this is what is important for us to understand, deceitful workers fashioning themselves into apostles of the Messiah. And you hear that a lot today. Apostle this, apostle that. You know? There were how many apostles? 12. An apostle walked with Yahshua. They had a relationship one-on-one with the Messiah. Right? They were the apostles. And it was 12 of them. Even Paul, who was last, he did, after he was struck down, he did see the Messiah. Okay? He was taught by the Messiah. Even though he knew, as a Pharisee, the law, he had to be retrained. See, because these people who were in charge of Israel, remember, Yahweh is the mighty one of Israel. There is only one living now, and that's Yahweh. But Yahshua came back to show them that they were walking in the wrong direction. We're going to get there. But what we want to understand here is that it says in verse 14, and no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to be judged for what they've done, because they're misleading people. But you have to understand that it's got to be righteousness. And righteousness, the definition is from Deuteronomy 6:25, is the keeping of the commandments. Do not be deceived, brethren. Satan is bringing a different doctrine. And he wants people to believe something other than what is true. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Remember, this message is entitled Connected to the Source. We want to get connected. Stay connected. 1 John. It's in the right before you get to the book of Revelation in the back of the Bible. In verse 1 it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of Yahweh. How do you prove the spirits? You got to try them. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Go all the way to the back of to Revelation. And then it's right in front of Revelation. Verse verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Anti-Messiah, of which you have heard that it comes. And now it is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them. And that's what Israel means, to overcome, to rule with El. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. We know that what comes out of people's hearts are what they believe, what they practice. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, there's a difference. We're going to continue in 1 John 5, the next chapter. Should be on the same page or the next page. 1 John 5, verse 1. Can you say that you've overcome the world, brother? Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Yahweh and do his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. No, they're not. I'm doing in the newsletter right now, I'm doing a breakdown of the Ten Commandments. And I'm showing the application. Because we have to apply it to our lives on a daily basis, brother. Verse 4, it says, for whoever is begotten of Yahweh overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. The leaders of Israel had the truth, but they suppressed it and listened to the evil one in putting to death the Master, our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. It's a very familiar passage. John 3, verse 1, and we'll read through 3, verses 1 to 3. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the leaders. The saying came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim. For no one can do these signs that you do except Elohim be with him. So what is he doing? He's confessing to Yahshua that we know that you're of Yahweh. And Yahshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. That's important for us to understand that they knew that he was of Yahweh. Turn it over to Mark 15. Mark 15. Mark 15, verses 31 and 32. In like manner, also the chief priests, mocking him among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, now come down from the torture stake, that we may see and believe. And they that were impaled with him reproached him. They knew he was the Messiah, yet they mocked him. And that's sad. because they were the leaders of Israel. They were supposed to be leading and teaching the people. Yet they were acting like they didn't have good sense. They mocked him. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John 12, 42. It says, "Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of Yahweh." What about us, brethren? Are we concerned with what other people think of us when it comes to our faith? When it comes to that which is so important to us? This is what Satan does. He tries to blind each individual. He wants you to think about, you know, your ego. He wants you to think about your self-image more so than your relationship with Yahweh. And see, for us to be connected to the source, we can't have anything between us. See? We cannot allow anything to come between us and Yahweh. Acts, which is the next book over, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "And the word of Yahweh increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So when the word of Yahweh increased greatly, you see what happens. The fruit from that, it's many. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So this work of Yahshua was yielding much fruit. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 7. See, so we know that many of them believe. The question is, do we allow Satan to come between us and Yahweh? Because he wants to disconnect us. And if we're connected to the source, brethren, you know, we're going to overcome. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll start in verse 1. Satan has a couple, I mean, he has many different ways that he tries to destroy Yahweh's people. But, of course, divide and conquer is always what he does. But if he can't get what he wants through disinformation, he'll go as far as to take your life. He'll try to kill you if he, you know, can't shut you up any other way. Okay? And in Matthew 26, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Yahshua had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days the Passover comes, and the Son of Man is delivered up to be impaled.'" See, it doesn't say Easter here. It says Passover. See? "Then were they gathered together, the chief priests and the elders of the people, to the court of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they took counsel together that they might take Yahshua by subtly, and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest the tumult arise among the people.'" So they had to do it before the feast. And the Passover is the day before the feast. The feast of unleavened bread doesn't start until the day after Passover. So they took him. He was the Passover lamb. See, when you understand scripturally what the Passover stands for, see, you can see how our Passover lamb, Yahshua the Messiah, was sacrificed his blood for the sins of all the people. But The leaders of Israel, what did they do? They were conspiring with the evil one, with Satan the devil, to kill him. See? Because he was teaching in the name of Yahweh. Turn over a couple pages to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, and we're going to start in verse 1. The leaders of Israel knew the truth, but they denied the Holy One of Israel. They did not have a personal relationship with the Savior. They conspired with Judas to kill him. In Matthew 23:1, then spoke Yahshua to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. That means something, brethren. They sit on Moses' seat. They have the authority to teach the law, which they did. It said, all things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe, but do not you after their works. For they say and do not. They were hypocrites. Yes, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They don't do it to please Yahweh. They do it to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the chief place, its feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men rabbi. But be you not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all of you are brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to learn to serve as Yahshua served. Because he who is great among us is a servant. And as we serve one another, we can understand this and we will be exalted. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. And that's what Yahshua wants us to do. He wants us to humble ourselves. King David had a personal relationship with the Father, Yahweh, as you can see. And he had one with Yahshua. Matthew 22, verses 41 to 46. Matthew 22, verses 41 to 46. It says, now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Yahshua asked them a question, saying, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He says to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him sovereign, saying, Yahweh said to my sovereign, sit you on my right hand till I put your enemies underneath your feet. If David then calls him sovereign, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Neither dared any man from that day forward ask him any more questions. Because they tried Yahshua. They were motivated by the devil. They were trying him constantly to catch him in his words. But Yahshua, who was faithful, was teaching the law of Yahweh. In Matthew chapter 5, we see here, verses 17 to 20. We're going to read this. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. It says, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. But truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one yod, which is the smallest Hebrew letter, or one tittle, which is the smallest decoration, shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. That hasn't happened yet, brother. So the law is still in effect. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do it and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. The law can't save you, brethren, but we still must keep it. The scribes and Pharisees kept the law, but they lacked the weightier matters like love. They didn't have love for the brethren. They didn't have the weightier matters of the law. Don't give the devil an opportunity, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me there. Ephesians 4. Verse 25, it says, therefore, putting away falsehood, speak you truth, one each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So if we have a problem one with another, we're supposed to go to that other person and solve that problem before the sun goes down, especially husband and wife. Verse 28, let him steal. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have something to give to him that has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. We're supposed to bless each other, brethren, with what comes out of our mouth, not curse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, in which you were sealed to the day of redemption. And that's important, brethren. Those that don't have it need to get it. How do you get the Holy Spirit? You've got to be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that Holy Spirit is what's going to raise you at that last day. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you, and all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as Yahweh also in the Messiah forgave you. And he forgave each and every one of us, brethren. And the reason he forgave us is because he sent his son and shed his blood that we might have that opportunity. Speaking out of hope, brethren, seek and grant forgiveness to each other that is seeking it. Be humbly approachable. Israel was in awe of Goliath because he was a giant. But David saw him as being small in the eyes of Yahweh because he was defying the mighty one of Israel. David wasn't afraid of Goliath, see, because he knew Yahweh. He had that relationship that each one of us needs to have. And we can't fear man. We can't fear the devil. See, because the devil is like Goliath in a lot of people's eyes. But we can't fear him, because he's already been defeated. All we have to do is be faithful and keep the covenant, brethren. That's all we have to do. Remember, Yahweh knows everything you have need of. If the enemy is too strong, Yahweh will defeat him. If you are facing a vast sea, he will part the waters. If you are thirsty and without water, he will bring it out of a rock. That's what he did to Israel when they were in the wilderness. He gave them. If you're hungry, he will provide bread from heaven. Did he not do it for Israel? Yes, he did. If you have sinned, he will forgive you. If you're weak, he will empower you. Our Redeemer has come. Trust in his sacrifice and receive salvation. Don't listen to Satan's lies. He has been defeated, brethren. Our closing passage is Luke chapter 7. We're going to read verses 36 to 50. That's Luke chapter 7. Verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment. And standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with oil." Now when the Pharisee, see, this is one of the rulers of Israel, when that Pharisee that had bitten him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying inside his heart, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touches him." See? Because the Pharisee would not let a woman like just touch him. See? "That she is a sinner." And Yahshua answered, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he says, "Teacher, say on." "A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had not with which to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "He, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, which was a custom in Israel to wash your guests' feet. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, which is a custom to kiss, to give the brotherly kiss. But since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil you did not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And they that sat at the table with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We must all humbly approach our Father Yahweh and ask him for forgiveness of our sins. If we justify ourselves as the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel did many times, when all we must do is humble ourselves and seek to be reconnected to the source, Almighty Yahweh. Ask for forgiveness, brethren, and Yahweh will grant it to you if you are sincere. Let's not be like the scribes and Pharisees in denying the Savior, but let us accept his great sacrifice for our sins so we can overcome the devil and this world. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you turn again to him and the Savior as the source of all truth. At this time, I'd like you to rise and we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name, Father, for this Sabbath day and for the knowledge you've given us. And we ask, Father, that you would truly connect us to you, that each one of us would overcome Satan the devil and this world and truly just lay our hearts on the line, Father, and just surrender it all to you. Because we know that it's only through your shed blood, through your son, Yahshua the Messiah, through his shed blood, that we have an opportunity to be reconciled to you. We know, Father, that it's nothing we can do. It's nothing we can do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. But we know that through the shed blood of your son, Yahshua the Messiah, we can overcome this world and sin. And we want to be like that woman, Father, that waited on Yahshua, that cleansed his feet with her tears and wiped it with her hair. Father, she was truly repentant. And help us to be the same way as we come before you asking for forgiveness for our sins, Father. We don't want to be puffed up. We want to be a humble servant to you. So we thank you again and ask for your blessing, not only for each and every one that is here this day, but even those that are far off, Father, and those that have yet to hear this message, whether they hear it on the CD later or they're listening to it today live, Father. We ask that you would bless those that have a heart like this woman, that was sincere and asking for forgiveness. So we thank you, Father, and we ask that you would help us to forgive others that have trespassed against us so that our sins would be forgiven. We thank you for all things that Yahshua has done for each and every one of us. And in his holy name, we ask, Father, that you would bless us. And we ask, Father, that those that would be willing to turn to you and to receive the Holy Spirit, we ask those that if they need to be baptized, Father, that they would fall on their knees and turn to you and ask for forgiveness so that their sins would be wiped away and cleansed through the washing of that water, Father, that water of baptism that brings us to you and that covers all of our sins as we seek Yahshua's great sacrifice. And it's in his holy name that we come before you at this time seeking a blessing and asking for forgiveness and thanking you, Father, for this message and this Sabbath day. In Yahshua's name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.